While she was covering the 1961 trial of Adolf Eichmann for The New Yorker, Hannah Arendt caused a stir when she wrote about the banality of evil and the complacency of Jewish leaders during the Holocaust. Margarete von Trotta has placed this controversy at the center of a film called Hannah Arendt, which stars Barbara Sukowa in the title role. It opens today at Film Forum, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Margarete von Trotta and Barbara Sukowa back to our show. Welcome back. Barbara, congratulations for winning the Lola Award for this performance. That's the German equivalent of the Oscar?
Yeah, I think you could say that, yeah. The German Academy chooses it.
Now, Margarete, why did you choose this particular historical moment, the Eichmann trial, to tell the story of Hannah Arendt, who had a long and complicated life? In fact, in his review in today's New York Times, A.O. Scott says that he wishes it had been a miniseries.
Yeah, what would that mean? I didn't understand it.
He just wanted to know. It's such a complicated life and a complicated story.
Okay, he wanted a longer story. Yeah, but also we tried in the beginning. We tried to make it much longer. But then we realized that for her, who was a thinker, we couldn't go into her real depths of thinking. So then we chose only this 4 years when Eichmann was kidnapped in Argentina, brought to Jerusalem to the trial. She goes there to report about the trial, and then she has this, these 2 years to get to a theory and to understand really what this new phenomenon is all about. And so I wanted that the spectators can go with her, to make the process of thinking until the end with her. And there's an adversary like Eichmann. It's not only an invisible sword. There is something sitting in the glass boot, and you can look at him and you can observe him, and you can perhaps come up with the same solution as she does.
Did you use newsreel footage?
Yes, absolutely.
So we have the real Eichmann. But you also do have a couple of flashbacks in which you show a younger Hannah with Martin Heidegger, her philosophy professor at the University of Marburg. How much of an influence did Heidegger have on her thinking?
Oh, she was his student. So in the beginning, she learned thinking with him.
Well, they also had an affair.
And they had an affair, but I didn't put him in because he was her lover. I did put him in because the main theme in the film is thinking. And there's Eichmann, who's not thinking, who's thoughtless, not stupid, but thoughtless, as she said, and Hannah, who is thinking. And she says in the end of the film, she said that thinking may protect you from catastrophes. And then there's a third person, Heidegger, who is a master of thinking, and he nevertheless went into the trap of National Socialism.
Well, Being and Time is considered one of the most important philosophical works of the 20th century. But as you say, he was a supporter of the Nazi regime, and Arendt, who was Jewish and had that affair with him when she was his student, had to work that out for herself. Did you, Barbara, developing this character, do you do a lot of research and think about those things?
In this case, I had to do a lot of research because, you know, the first thing you have to do, you have to find out what she's talking about, and you need background information. And she was really steeped deeply and based in classical philosophy, so I had to find out something about that. I had to learn about that, and then you have to find out what is her point of view. What does she want? What does she want to find out? And then you have to find out about the personal woman, which mainly I did with her letters. So I tried to read her theoretical writings, and I looked into her letters and tried to read between the lines. And
is she taught in Germany? Heidegger is taught in Germany. In fact, he's taught in all philosophy classes. But is this story as well known in Germany as it is here, or is this really an American story?
I think it's less known in Germany than it's here. Now with the film, because the film was successful, all of a sudden people want to read the book and read more about her. So that's a little bit of triumph for me that I made her living again, no, with her
Well, she's still remembered as a controversial figure by people who recognize the name. To some degree, she has been forgotten, but she was considered a very important figure at the time. And the New Yorker sent her to Jerusalem to cover the trial.
Yes, because she was already famous, and she already wrote the book, The Origins of Totalitarianism. She became famous with this book.
And you have cast Barbara as a powerful figure. This is another one. You also played Rosa Luxemburg 27 years ago.
Yeah, I know. Well, and Hannah Arendt was a great fan of Rosa Luxemburg. So was Hannah Arendt's mother. And they have things in common. And that was kind of a nice continuation for me.
Did you read her New Yorker articles about the trial?
Yes, I've read the New Yorker articles, and I read, of course, the book. And
were you convinced by her argument? Because it was very controversial, remains controversial. In fact, as I understand it, her book only recently was translated into Hebrew.
Right.
Because it's been so vilified in many Jewish circles.
Right. Well, the time it came out in 1962, it was a very sensitive topic. And you have to imagine that there were a lot of people whose entire family had been murdered. And the title, The Banality of Evil, triggers something. You don't really want to hear the word banality and in that context. And so it was very hurtful to a lot of people. But a lot of people didn't even want to go near the book, but still vilified her because it was so provocative.
Well, she lost friends. She lost her good friend Gershon Scholem, who broke off relations with her.
Right,
yeah,
and
also
Blumenfeld.
Hans Jonas and Blumenfeld. Yes, yes, she lost a lot of friends.
And the reason was that she said that Eichmann was an unthinking person who just followed orders.
But he sent
so many people off to die.
That was one reason. The other one was that she was criticizing some of the Jewish leaders who were cooperating with the Nazis. And that was a book that was written a long time before of Raoul Hilberg. So she used his knowledge already then. But she was attacked for both reasons.
And she was also critical of the setting of the trial, Jerusalem. She felt that Israel shouldn't be the country that was trying Eichmann?
She felt it was a crime against humanity.
And since it was not already a courtyard for this sort of trial,
now we have it.
With Den Haag, we have it. So she claimed for it already in this time. So she was a sort of prophet.
She also, what did she think about the testimony from the Holocaust survivors that were presented at the trial?
Well, she had the feeling that questions were asked to them that did not have really to do directly with Eichmann. She thought that was a trial about this man, Eichmann, and his crimes, and not about a system, not about national socialism. That was the broader context, but she thought it should focus, the questions should have focused on concerning Eichmann. And so she
was saying he was being punished for the whole Holocaust.
She was suffering with the people they had to testify and going back into her own suffering. And there's one sequence where somebody is going down to ohnmächtig werden.
Yeah, he faints.
He faints because he couldn't stand it to go back to his own story. And so she suffered with these testimonies. She said, you can't do that to them.
Barbara, you speak two languages in this film because Arendt is a German emigre living in New York. And when she speaks to her husband and closest friend, she speaks German. When she speaks to other people, she speaks in English. Your command of English is quite good. But have you appeared in many English language films?
No, not really. I haven't.
Do you find moving back and forth something that you can do easily?
I can do it now. I think when I first came to America, it was for me. I felt, for example, I couldn't really act well in English because when you act, you have to forget. You cannot think about the language or about grammar. If you have to do an emotional scene, you have to really have a command of the language. So when I first came here, I thought I couldn't do that, and that's why I never really, worked to get work here. So, but now I am I've been living here for 20 years, and I think it is more in my body now, the language, than it ever was.
Do you see a different Hannah in each language, especially because she speaks German mainly when she's talking to her husband or in flashbacks?
Well, she has a very heavy German accent, so I really speak with this very heavy accent in the film. She is, one part of Hannah is probably very hard for people here to get. It is this part that she really liked, this dry Berlin accent. She loved that dry humor, that kind of slangy thing, you know,
what do they call it, Berlin Schnauze or something?
Yes,
like
exactly. And that's, of course, a really nice contradiction to her highly intellectual speech when she intersperses that with these kind of sentences. And that will, of course, get a little bit lost for an American audience.
My guests are Barbara Sukowa, who plays Hannah Arendt in a new film by Margarete von Trotter that is called Hannah Arendt. It opened today at Film Forum, got a wonderful review in today's Times. In one scene in the film, Hannah very confidently tells university faculty members that her classes are over-enrolled, even though she's come under criticism for her writing. And then when she walks out of the room, one man says, "That's Hannah Arendt, all arrogance and no feeling." And many Jewish public figures charge her with coldness and lack of sympathy for the victims of the Shoah. But Margarete, you wanted to make the point in this film that she actually was a very kind, sympathetic person.
Yes, no, she was a genius in friendship. Her friend, Lotte Köhler, who is also in the film, she told us. But I would like to say that no men would have had this attack being cold and arrogant and so. That was really also because she was a woman.
Uh-huh. Because if you're an intellectual and you're a man,
yeah, you have to be arrogant. You have to be cold. You have to not to show your emotions or not to be compassionate. But for her, people expected from a woman to be all that.
But this is something you had to be aware of when you're playing this part, Barbara. You have to make people understand why. Some people might have perceived her as cold and arrogant, and at the same time showed the warm side of her.
I think in the film you see both. You see her relation with her husband and with her friends, where she is warm, and you see her when she's with her students, when she has this very sharp intellect. And, you know, people who approached her in the particular case of the Eichmann book, that she was unfeeling, I think she used irony and a bit distance because she felt that any kind of display of feeling was really inadequate to the actual horror that happened. So anything you would have put in there, which is feeling and emotion, would have been really gooey.
Yeah, and your own ego. No, she had to be very discreet with her own ego.
Well, she also has this academic side.
Yeah.
But what most people remember her best for this one phrase, even though she wrote so much, the banality of evil. What did she mean by that?
But it came from a philosophical point of view, because first she wrote always about the radical evil, now also in her book about totalitarianism, and that is an expression of Kant, of the philosopher, German philosopher, and she studied him already when she was 14, so she was really familiar with all that. And then she looked at Eichmann and she thought it's not fitting to him. You can't say that's radical evil. He was a nobody.
Do you think that if she hadn't seen him in person, she would have come to the same conclusion?
No, perhaps not. You have to see him. And therefore, also, I used this real material of Eichmann, and I didn't choose an actor to play him because I wanted that the public could see that he was really very mediocre.
Well, as you point out, it's hard to make a film about an intellectual and a philosopher. But now that you've done this, can we expect Kierkegaard or Schopenhauer or Nietzsche?
No, there must come up another woman, but there isn't.
you're focusing mostly on women in your films?
Yes, yes.
Good for me.
And Barbara, you have no choice. You've never got...
Yeah. She has to go on with me.
Well, you started with Fassbinder. Did he discover you?
Yeah, for movies, yes. Mm-hmm. I was a theater actress, and the first thing I did with him was Berlin Alexanderplatz, and that kind of launched my movie career.
Now, that was a series.
Yes.
So you were able, because that was a large novel, and you were able to try to capture as much of that novel as possible.
Was not a miniseries. That was a real series.
But then very, very soon after this, I worked with Margarete in, which is called here, Marion and Julian.
And, mm-hmm. And how many films have you done together?
Six.
Wow. Yeah. Well, the latest one, the one we've been discussing, is Hannah Arendt, which opens today at the Film Forum on West Housen Street. And my great thanks to its director and screenwriter, Margarete van Trotta, and to its star, Barbara Sukova, for being on our show today.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
Thank you.